Blog Talk Radio.
Today is Wednesday, September 14th, 2022, and this is Foxology. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Howdy, and happy Wednesday to you. Thank you for tuning in today. How are you doing out there? Are you having an exciting day? Yeah, for some. Not so much for others, huh? Well, believe me, I know some days can surely feel less exciting than others, but, you know, there's some things you can do. You know what I do. I'll tell you some of the things that I do when that's the case. I make an escape. I escape to something that's exciting in my head anyway. I think about my goals. I plan a trip or something to someplace wonderful or even just somewhere close by. I jot down ideas about things, might write something, write a poem, just, you know, something to distract yourself from whatever might be going on that's less than exciting. And then a really wonderful, exciting thing you can do is maybe go eat something good. That tends to turn things around. Anyway, I think about anything that can shift my thinking for a few minutes when that happens and get my mood right, because you know what? I am one of those people who can't afford to lose a whole day in a bad mood, and nor do I even want to. So I don't know. I don't know. Can that work for you? I don't know. Well, what I'm saying, though, is, well, it is certainly worth a try. So do that and see what happens. Anyway, I do have something exciting happening here today. My guest today is a multi-award-winning filmmaker, and he is going to talk to us about his illustrious career and his incredible imagination for his art. Wait till you hear and see that. And the strategies that have brought him success in such a challenging and competitive industry. Drum roll, please. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That wasn't a good one. Wish it could have been better for you, Bob. But anyway, here he is in this Foxology spotlight today. He is the one and the only Bob Bryan. Welcome to the Foxology stage, sir. So glad to have you.
I mean, how do I follow up on that?
I wish I could have given you a better drum roll, but, you know, I don't have that thing in my voice, but I did the best I could.
It sounded brilliant in my head. In my head, that was the greatest drum roll there was.
That there ever was. Okay. See what I'm talking about? You just do something kind of fun when, you know, if the day isn't going quite straight and somebody will give you a wonderful compliment like that. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. Yeah, indeed. Well, you know, you and I have been connected on Facebook for quite some time, so it's obvious to me that you see what I do, and I want to thank you so much for how you are so supportive of the things that you see me doing, because you're always sharing it, and I know how much that means to the average person trying to do stuff, or let me say the not-so-average person trying to do stuff on the Internet. So I appreciate you and the audience that you share my stuff with. I really, really do. But I want people to know about you today, because you do have a lot going on, and I see a lot of it happening, and I think it's been some years since I spoke with you. But let's just roll the curtain back, and let's start by telling people how you got started in this business. It's a highly competitive business, and I'm just wondering where all of that inspiration and inclination to launch into it came from.
Wow, that's a big question. But really the answer is kind of simple. I just put my head down and got into it. I originally hark from New York. Okay, I was born in Brooklyn, raised in the Bronx, and I left from Manhattan, from Harlem. And when I was living in Harlem, I started a magazine called Impressions Magazine of the Arts. And I was exploring all kinds of issues that were happening, not only in the black community, but the community at large, because art is, you know, all-inclusive. It should be. At least that's the way I looked at it. So I was interviewing and dealing with a whole lot, everybody from Bob Marley to everybody. I mean, just everybody came to me. Anyway, so I did that thing in New York, and I had an epiphany one night that literally I went up on the roof, and it was a full moon night, and I could hear a voice, and the voice said, "Hollywood." It just echoed, and the sun was, I mean, the moon was like an eye in the sky, and it was just talking to me. And I just obeyed that signal. And from that moment, I was making all my plans to go to Hollywood. And that's how it began. And when I left and actually, when I left New York and actually went to Los Angeles, because that's where Hollywood is, I had nothing but good luck. I mean, people just came to me, events just happened, and I was able to move up slowly. I mean, you have to understand that I didn't just arrive as an executive producer or director or writer. I had to build myself from zero because I had no roots in Hollywood. And so I worked as a – well, I took a test, okay? They call it the Assistant Cameraman Training Program, where you compete with maybe 2,000-3,000 people who want to get into the union. They want to be a cameraman. You know, they want to get in to Hollywood. So I took a test along with 2,000-3,000 other people. And to make a long story short, I came into the top 10. And they were only going to let, I think it was like five in. So I made the top 10. And when you made the top 10, then you had to be interviewed by this cadre of really preeminent directors of photography and people who are Academy Award winners, blah, blah, blah. They knew their business and they were very highly esteemed. And so I took the test. I came out top 10, went in for the interview, and the first year that I did, I didn't make it. I just didn't make it that year. So I was despondent and said, well, hell, okay, I didn't make it this year, but I'm going to take this test again and be right back here, and I'm going to kill it. And again, making a long story short, that's what I did. And nobody comes back a second year in a row. That's what they told me later. You may make it one year, but you sure ain't going to make it the next year. But I made it the next year because I'm that guy, right?
right.
And anyway, went through that process. They approved me. I got in, and I came in to work for, as an assistant cameraman. I wasn't a real cameraman. I wasn't a real assistant. I was a trainee. And I went through a process of being an assistant cameraman trainee to a trainee, working in utility, that's video, then became, years later, a camera operator. Then I worked myself up to be a DP, and then that's director of photography, and then I worked myself up into being an independent director, getting into the Directors Guild and becoming a producer. Then I evolved into an executive producer and an editor and so forth and so on. And most of that evolution happened to me as an independent, you know, which meant that I was responsible for creating the products that I was producing. So that's the long and short of it.
Well, I think that's very inspiring because I hear, you know, I'm always looking in between the lines for some things, and I like the fact that you didn't give up on that first attempt to get you launched in the direction that you wanted to go. You know, a lot of people, you know, I talk about it a lot, and you probably see my posts that reference it too. A lot of people, you know, they don't fight the fight the good fight and keep going. Some people would have just said, "Oh boy, what am I doing in Los Angeles? Let me go back. Let me go back home."
Yeah.
And I think it's important.
The key, you know what the key is? When you are confronted with a challenge, that's the opportunity that you have to really find out who you are. So if you are the kind of person that, when challenged, you know, recede back into the shadows or deny yourself or don't think that you're good enough, then that's who you are. But if
mm-hmm.
you're the kind of person that I am, I believe in myself full force. I mean, it never comes into my mind at all that I can't do something, because I realize that that idea or opportunity presents itself to me, that's it. I can do it. That's my key. That is a gift. It wouldn't have come to me if I didn't believe that that is something that I could do. So I never doubt myself. If the idea comes to my mind, I move on.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's something that I want people to see and understand about anything, especially something as major as what you have done. I mean, it that was no small goal, but you took it in small steps. And, you know, those are when people leave this show, I like for them to see a bigger picture. Often times when you talk to somebody at, you know, your caliber and who has made yourself a success in that industry, they tend to, you know, they look at all that glow, but they forget about the grow and how you get to a certain place. And it, particularly now, Bob, you know, with things happening the way they are, technology, a lot of things you can do differently than you had in the past as far as getting yourself into certain places and doing certain things. I'm sure if you were doing that today, you might have had a faster swirl upward as well. But, you know, I'm glad you put all of that into a perspective. I wanted you to share, when you were going through those years, how did you keep the vision of were you feeling certain about where you were headed in the industry, like where you are today? How did you vision all of that? I know you heard the voice and you saw the eye in the sky and all of that, but how did you do those steps and keep in mind, but I'm working for these people now, but I'm going to be working for myself in a much bigger, broader way.
Well, oftentimes, it's a great question. Oftentimes, the vision, the end-all, quote-unquote, vision is not revealed to you. It's revealed to you through tiny steps. So if you understand that, you know, as you develop yourself and you come into being, you know, there's going to be one step revealed to you, and you got to respect that and then just move towards, you know, getting that one step done. And then after you complete that one step, then another vision will come to you, which is the next step. And you do the same thing. You accomplish that. You do the best you can, not worrying if I'm going to be, you know, am I going to be successful? Is my ultimate vision going to be realized? Nothing like that. It's step revolution, you know, revelation, step, revelation, step, revelation. So if you understand the process as I did, I was always secure in the knowledge that I was headed in the right direction. I put no pressure on myself, you know, to question whether or not it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of the protocol or the procedure. And I believed in that, and that wee small voice, that voice that comes to me in the middle of the night, that constantly talks to me, I believe in it. You know, people give it various names. I'm just calling it a voice, but, you know, it has a more dynamic presence in one's faith and belief.
Mm-hmm.
So if you believe in that voice, you're always in good company, and you can believe that it's going to lead you to where you ultimately want to go. And in my particular case, it has, and I still hear that voice every day. So I'm inspired to accomplish, to complete, you know, to focus, to get down. I never question anything because I'm in connection with that voice.
That's beautiful. It really is. Well, I know that it has brought you a long way, and I want to talk about the current projects that are out in the forefront right now for you. Can you tell us about that? I know we're going to get to that book, but tell us about the current film projects that you're working on.
Well, I'm not going to go into complete detail as to the project, but I can tell you that it's a vision that involves the state of our existence today. And what do I mean by that? I mean, we're coming out of or still going through what's called a pandemic, you know, and it's crushed the society and changed the way we look at each other, relationship to each other, and a relationship to what we can do. So this film, a little film that I'm going to be doing, which I'm right now I'm looking at the board where I have all my post-it notes and stuff up, cards, breaking down every scene, breaking down every piece of dialogue, every piece of action, is really a breakdown of a film that's exploring the current state of affairs in our culture. It's actually a worldwide phenomenon, you know, this, let's say, COVID-19 situation, which has killed, which has maimed, which has set people back. You know, educationally, a lot of people are set back, career-wise, and how people feel about themselves. I mean, we notice there's a lot of violence going on in the street. There's a lot of problems that we're having as a culture, identifying with each other. We've been isolated, we're confused, and ultimately we're angry. So this film that I'm doing is going to reflect the state of the art, the state of existence as I perceive it.
Mm. Okay. Well, since you can't give us all of the details, which I can certainly understand, you got to save that for us. I know you worked on other things that have been award-winning projects, and I'm just wanting to give people a picture of some of the imaginative and artistic things that you have put out there. So share what you would like to about those. I know there are many.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I go through phases. You know, sometimes my interests go in this way and sometimes my interests go in that way and sometimes it goes into today. And all of these different directions, misdirections, have nothing sometimes to do with each other. But anyway, I think one of my first independent films, which garnered a lot of success for me, was called Graffiti Verite. And that dealt with the graffiti art movement. You know, the graffiti art movement are those artists who were putting their messages, their ideas up on blank walls, graffiti. And mm-hmm. So I created a documentary back in the day. I think that was 1995 that I did that documentary. And since then, I did a number of documentaries exploring different aspects of graffiti and graffiti art. And then I transited to an interest in poetry. So there was one documentary I did called Poets, Passion, and Poetry. It was called GV6, The Odyssey. And I explored mm-hmm. various poets who were coming from different places and how they interpolated life, how they saw it and how they felt it and how they expressed it. Okay. Once I completed that, I evolved into realizing that poetry, written poetry, is not the same as spoken word poetry. So I was still into the poetry phase, but I wanted to explore this new dimension. So I did a documentary concerning spoken word poetry. Then I realized that what I was really talking about was hip-hop, you know, and what was this phenomena called hip-hop? And most people didn't understand that there's actually different dimensions of hip-hop. They just think of it as music, and that's all. But it was more comprehensive than that. And also commercial hip-hop was not the same as underground hip-hop. So therefore, the message was completely different coming from the commercial house as opposed to the independent house. So I wanted to explore the independent underground hip-hop world. So I dealt as one element with beatboxing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Another element was the DJ, The next element to explore was hip-hop dance. The next one was voices from the hip-hop underground, which is the MC. And together with all, and together with this, I was able to explore the dynamics of underground hip-hop, authentic voices. And so that's what I did. That got me up to a place where I was trying to understand beatboxing and how that all integrated together. And it was, and most people think that I'm talking about commercial hip-hop. I'm not. I'm talking about the hip-hop which isn't necessarily commercial but has an authentic voice in the underground. Okay? I guess you can say I'm kind of like interested in the dissident voices of the underground. Okay? No matter what I explore. Okay. So after that evolved into, I got invited by the Balinese government to go to Bali, Indonesia. So I did so, and they gave me carte blanche, you know, do anything you want. And so I explored an aspect of the Balinese culture. It was called the shadow puppets, you know, wayang kulit, which is shadow puppetry theater, which is fascinating. just imagine shadows on the wall, and they're being controlled by these master puppeteers. And there's like this dialogue and storyline which explores the culture of Bali. So it's called GV12, Wayang Kulit's Shadow Puppet Theater of Bali. So I did that. And while I was there, I did also something called Myth, Magic, and Rituals. And that's where I explored all kinds of aspects of Balinese culture, which is totally fascinating. And and I got to tell you, Fox, I've done so much that I could keep going on and on and on and on and on. And you don't have enough time for me to go through every single project I've done. So I'll just end up with saying I ended up doing another documentary on roller derby. I got fascinated with roller derby. So here in L.A., there was two types of roller derby. There was a hard track, and it was curved track. So I explored both types of roller derby, and that was called A Complicated Game Time Love Affair, Roller Girl.
Well,
do you want me to go
all
on?
Of it does.
You want me to go more?
I was about to say all of it. Well, we're going to have an opportunity for you to share more. I gave us plenty of time. We probably won't use up an entire hour, but I still have a little more time if you do. All of those do sound very fascinating, and I had a good imagination for seeing a lot of what you were saying, which I found sitting here being entertained by. I want to ask you something. This question came to my mind a couple of times, and I'd like for you to it may be an aside question, but you're in Hollywood, and you came to Hollywood with again a big goal and a big dream. What was it that steered you away from a lot of the mainstream type of filmmaking that's going on there?
Well, you have to understand, I have worked on big films and television shows, you know. Things like Murphy Brown, you know, I did Murphy Brown, you know, Battlestar Galactica, you know, just huge mythological, you know, shows. Okay, I say mythological because it's part of a, you know, it's like a myth. Are you kidding? Murphy Brown, or, you know, Battlestar Galactica, people go off, you know. I've done all the big shows, okay? And, but I had no control, so to speak, at the time when I'm working as a cameraman, whatever. I'm doing their show as they want it, right? It's not like I'm conceptualizing it, writing it. So my frustration was that I didn't have the kind of creative control over a product. And that's what led me away from being mainstream to being independent. Now, when you go independent, you're going into a territory where you now have to raise your own money. You know, you got to hire your own people. You got to handle it. The complete production is on you. So it's quite the challenge to go independent. But my drive for creative expression was so strong that I was willing to go through the war.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's true.
No, it does to me. It does perfectly. It makes good sense to me. It does. If more of us were more in tune to the inner inclinations and the spirit that leads us into our destinies, I think we would all end up landing where you are, so very sure and so very accurate about where we belong. I think that's critical. And you said something earlier I just want to reflect on so that nobody forgets it, that when you hear it, you move on it, even if it's just step by step. You move on that one step. I think that's another thing, because sometimes we do have the vision, but we want to move way too fast, and we miss some of those important junctures where we were supposed to be learning and growing with stuff. So I love your story, Bob. I think it's really incredible, and your projects too. I know that you've kind of reflected on the type of inspiration. But when I hear the titles and the focus, like the roller derby, for instance, where did that come from? I mean, you know that there are two types of derbies there, but what made you say, I think I'm going to produce something about that? Was it just a fascination? Was it just your interest in it? It was a big project.
Yeah, it was. Honestly, a voice came to me and said, roller derby.
Okay.
And I said, what? They said, roller derby. And I said, okay. And then I didn't know exactly what it was, but I had roller derby, you know. And so I explored and found out, did my research and found out what roller derby was. And then once I discovered what the roots of it were and the people involved, I just engaged. And believe
uh-huh.
me, when I started doing the documentary, I knew nothing about the intricacies of roller derby. I was filming and learning at the same time.
Mm.
And that's kind of an interesting process, because what it means is that I have to be the sponge. I have to pay attention. I have to listen, you know, and I have to ask the right questions, you know, and I have to interpolate things according to how I'm perceiving it. So I'm alive, you know. I mean, I'm not lazy about this process at all. I'm on fire trying to learn what this thing is all about.
Wow.
But that process is the process that I use for every single thing that I do. I'm always learning about the subject as I'm filming it, always. Again, the voice gave me the lead, and it was up to me to follow it up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I never question it. I never question it.
Yeah, that's definitely a takeaway, too. What would you say... you know, I always believe that there are people who listen to my guests who have desires, maybe not a full-blown goal yet, but desires to do things like you're doing, and particularly in Hollywood. I mean, you don't wake up in, you know, some unknown city and just think about, you know, wonder what it would feel like to be a big, well-known movie maker. Maybe some people do, but you know, you hear what my point is. What would you say to someone who, you know, it just may be in that thought mode right now? What would be a suggestion if they were sitting there with you and desiring to be mentored by you? How would you guide them at this point?
Okay, and that's another brilliant question. Thank you. There's one ingredient that you have to have, and if you don't have that one ingredient, you will not be successful at anything, whether it's Hollywood or working in industry or doing anything, completing anything. And there's one ingredient, only one. It's not complicated. Okay, here it is. You ready?
I'm ready.
Belief in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, you will never accomplish anything. You will not be consistent. You'll be lost as to why am I doing this? Is it worth it? How do I know I'll be successful? You start questioning yourself, and you start tearing down the energy that you could be using to push yourself forward into doubt. I'm doubting myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe, you know, oh, you know, why me? I'm not the best. I don't have the money. I don't have the connection. I don't have the education. You know, I'll never be able to figure it out. This is one thing that I will say. Don't worry about getting all of the tools that you need to be successful in that area. Have faith that it will come. If the voice tells you that this is your vision, this is what you want to be doing with your life, it's how you identify and relate to life, just move forward, man. All the resources will come to you. It'll be like magic. All of a sudden, you'll have great luck. You'll meet the right person. You know, the resources that you need to be able to accomplish the goal will happen. You know, it may happen in a fragmented way, piece by piece by piece. But have the peace inside, P-E-A-C-E, have the peace inside you to understand that you're on the journey, that it's happening, and that you will be successful. Know that. If you don't have that belief in yourself, then you won't succeed in anything. So that's the very first thing. You know, you got to figure out, you know, who you are, what you are, and make that connection with your higher self. And listen. Listen to those voices. You're not crazy. That's the one thing I tell people. You're not crazy. Those voices come to you because it's you. It's yours. It's your God. It's your gift. It's a gift to have these voices. But if you don't understand that, then the resources that you could have at your disposal will not be there. Not that they're not there, it's just that you don't believe they're there because maybe you believe, oh, it's going to come this way. And if it comes the other way, say, ah, it's not relevant. You know, it has to come this way. Get out of your own way and understand that the mystery of life is that it will be revealed to you in ways that you don't even understand at the time that the delivery system is happening. You won't even get it. You won't understand it. You won't appreciate it, but you should respect it because it's you. Because if you weren't capable of doing it, whatever this vision is, the vision wouldn't come to you. It'd go to somebody else who earned it or wants it. But by virtue of the fact that this voice comes to you and this vision comes to you, that's affirmation that you can do it, that it's yours.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome. Well, I think that's a lot for anybody to go on. I mean, that was steps 1 through 10 right there. That's awesome.
And that's the way I roll. So a lot of times I don't even know what's next. I'm waiting for that voice to tell me.
Yeah.
And when I write, I'll just give you another clue to something. When I write, I have no idea what I'm writing until after I've written it. It's like automatic writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get a pen or if I'm on a keyboard and I start writing. I have no idea what I'm writing until the end I stop writing. Then I look back, I say, what the hell was that? And I look at it and say, dang, I'm surprised. What was I trying to say? I mean, you know, I don't even know. I let the spirit move me.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you segued to that because that was going to be the next thing we were going to chat about. Your book.
My book.
So you just told us about that, how that happens. You want to share some of the thoughts? Would you share some of your thoughts? Because they are truly unique.
You mean things that I wrote in that book?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Is it nearby? You got it nearby?
I'm looking at it now. I'm prepared.
Okay, well, share. Please share.
Okay. Okay. I'm just going to grab this because it's – I'm grabbing it. I just bolted from the mad clutches of the void, where I was confined and unable to freely communicate with the outside world. My words and thoughts were entombed inside my head. I was imprisoned in a muted hell. Transformation, transfiguration, confinement.
Okay.
So
now,
there's that.
Let me ask you a question.
Go.
Let me ask you a question about that.
Go.
So I understand the whole inspiration of writing and just starting to write and things come from your head now and your heart and your spirit. So once you wrote that down,
yeah,
and then you did you reread it, what did you say to yourself? Because that's it's understandable, but it's very deep. So what did you say to yourself besides, oh, wow, what?
I said, dang, I'm crazy. This is crazy. And I said, I have no idea where I'm coming from. I didn't even know. What the heck is this? So this is what I'm thinking. To answer your question, I'm thinking, what the heck? And then I'm looking at it and saying, what am I trying to say here? And then, of course, writing is rewriting, so then I have to go over it. I have to try to connect what the idea is and then try to make sure that the words that I use are the best words to describe this initial, you know, purge. But I'm always surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always like, what the heck am I going through?
Well, let me ask this also. So when you wrote all of these thoughts and ideas and inspirations and insights, were you just depending on the moment? I mean, did you, how much processing, you know, many of us when we're writing have at least a direction is probably the best word that
I can use.
For instance, when I write my articles, I'll have a thought, but I won't have the whole thing until I start writing it.
Got it.
You know, I'll write the first sentence and then I can roll.
So I'm wondering,
are these just thoughts in the night? Are you sitting and you got a little free time and you're looking out the window? What's going on?
Okay, I got you. No, first of all, I have a process, okay, which is what you're talking about. My process may be a little different from everybody else's, but there is a process. And superficially, here's what it is. I cannot write during the day. Okay?
Is that
too much
right?
Distraction, too much noise, too many other voices, you know, people talking in the street, music, you know, construction, you know, screaming, yelling, you know, people calling, you know, blah, blah, other distractions. So during the day, I can't do it, okay? So my process is, and I haven't told anybody this, so don't tell anybody, okay?
I promise.
Is I go to bed really early. Well, how early? 6 o'clock? Okay, I'll go to bed 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and then I'll sleep for like 5 hours. So that means 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So on or about 12 o'clock, I'll wake up, right? And everybody's asleep or it's quiet, whatever, right? And then I come over to the computer where I am right now and or a pad, and I'll just pick up my pen. I said, I'm ready. And then I begin to write stuff that I don't even understand. The notes come out. And once the first line or second line comes out, then I'm like on fire. I just vomit it out. You know, just. And so between midnight and about 4 o'clock, I'm vomiting on the page or the computer screen, right, getting it out. Then I go back to bed about 4 o'clock in the morning, 3, 4 o'clock, and wake up around 6:30, and I start exercising and starting a new day. So altogether, I get maybe 8, 9 hours sleep, but it's broken up in between the, you know, the time which I'm up in the middle of the night. But it works. I've been doing this for years, you know, and straight up. I don't
know
if that makes sense. But that's it.
It does. It does. I probably would have chosen a different word than vomiting.
Well, but it's appropriate for me. I vomited. I just.
I know.
Just
I know.
Out.
That's why I know. It's so Bob Ryan. So I'm gonna leave it alone and let it be. Let it be vomiting.
There you go. There you go.
Well, it truly is a book full of fascinating thoughts. And
you want me to read another one for you really quick? You want me to read another one
for
you? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's called I Am Not. Okay, here we go. I am not empowered nor governed by the limitation, perspirations, or inspirations of others. I'm a free-range algorithm. Period.
Period. Yes,
period.
You are, sir. And that holds true for a whole lot of us. But you know what I was getting ready to say about what you just described about your day and how you handle your writing. As I was sitting here, sleep is a very interesting thing, and I was glad to hear that you can do that the way you do it, because most of my days have a similarity, and I don't go to bed quite as early, but it's a little bit later than you do, but still early in, you know, most case scenarios, and I often wake up at about 2. And I will sometimes I will stay awake from, like last night, I woke up this morning I woke up at 2:30. I haven't really been back to a real solid sleep since then.
Wow.
But I will get it in. I'll get it in because most days I've already put in an 8 and 10 hour day by people from early afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I mean, some days I need 8 hours, 9 hours of sleep. Most days I do not. But
I think
the point of what you just said can help so many people who feel their frustrations in, you know, waking up. Perhaps it's such a great time to utilize, especially if you really feel wide awake, to utilize energy doing things that are productive and positive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you expressed that. I have not heard anybody say it out loud.
Wow.
But I
wow.
bet there's a whole community or population of us who have weird hours of doing stuff. And
yeah, I'm sure they're
out
there, too. I'm sure they're out
and
there.
And it's lovely. It's so uninterrupted. You know, it's a wonderful time. You can get so much done. It's
oh yeah, and think
thing.
About this. Think about this. If you're up, let's say you're 6 o'clock, what are you doing between 6 and 10? You're looking at some TV. You're looking at some movie. You know, you're wasting your time doing something, right? Well, I realize that. So instead of me wasting my time looking at TV or looking at a film or looking at, you know, I said, let me sleep, where I can go right to the quality time, which is 4 hours later. So I'm not wasting time.
Yeah, I get
I'm using time.
I truly get it. Yeah, and I made the same discovery, you know, that it just that time when you're, you know, flipping around looking for something on TV or whatever, it really, by the time 10 o'clock does come, you're like, what? You know, I could have been doing something.
Yep.
Sleeping is a good idea.
Yeah. Hey, and sleep is really important because you get to connect with your inner life. you know, which is revealed to you with symbols, symbolic, or messages or whatever. But sometimes your sleep interpretation is more important than your waking interpretation. Because it tells you what's really going on inside you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, it's been a real treat talking to you, sir. What I need you to do for me now is tell people where they can go take a look at your wonderful work and where they can get that fascinating book.
All right. Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, my pleasure, too.
We are located at www. And I'll spell it, graffiti.com. And it's spelled Graffiti Verite. Or if you can't find it or remember it, just look for Bob Bryan in Google. Not the tennis player, but filmmaker Bob Bryan.
Okay.
In Google or Bing or wherever. Filmmaker Bob Bryan, or go to www.graffitiverite.com.
Is your book on Amazon?
Oh, yeah. We were, in fact, number one. I'm a bestseller.
I thought so.
Too. Yeah. My whole series, the whole Cognitive Dissonance series, book one, book two, book three, book four, became Amazon bestsellers on, what is the date, June 6th.
Wow,
right?
Congratulations.
We were number two, number four, number five, and number six. And
that
same
is
week,
so
just
awesome.
To add, that same week, I became number one in poetry with my poetry book, Blacker Tomorrows. Number one, bestseller. Mm. So I'm a bestseller all over the place.
You certainly are. You certainly are. Well, again, it's been my delight and treat to talk to you today, and you're more interesting and fascinating than you appear. I'm glad people got to hear you. Well, when I say that, I'm glad people got to hear you on this level. You know, I particularly want that to happen with my guests, that they get to hear the real individual. You know, we see the people see expressions of the art, they see the, you know, the book, but to hear your voice and to share some of the great takeaways that you gave away today, just that's phenomenal for me and for people who listen to this show. So I do appreciate you, and I look forward to talking to you again, hopefully in the near future. We managed to stay in touch, you and I.
Yes, we do. And of course, you got to understand, for a good interview, you need a good interviewer, and that's you. So you did good.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. So I'll reach out again real soon, and I hope that you have just a most amazing day. Thank you again for taking this time. I know somebody, I say this to many of my guests, but I know that there are some of you who it really is something for you to take the time and space to be here. So I do truly thank you for it.
Love you. Talk to you later.
You too, sir. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I want to thank all of you too as well for joining me today and listening to that wonderful conversation that I've just had with filmmaker Bob Bryan. And I, again, hope you will Google him both on all those film projects is the best thing I can say. I can't name them all, but there's quite a few film projects that I know you enjoy. It's been a little bit of time since I looked at some of them, but I see quite a few of them when he was putting them out for us to view. And so they really are great. So take a look at those and get that book. I mean, you know, sometimes when we're expressing thoughts, they may seem like they're a little bit bizarre, but then we read and you're like, yeah, I was thinking like that too. So take a look at that as well. Give him some love and support. I want to thank you again for just being a faithful listener, joining me here at the Foxology State. Be sure you share the content with others that may not be as familiar with the show, I would really appreciate that. Take a look at SilverRayFox.com when you get a chance and look at what I'm doing. I also have a couple of books on Amazon, What is Faith and Stay in the Ring are there. So I would like your love and support as well, and thank you very much. So in the meantime, before I show up again next week at this same time in space, I look forward to talking to you. But you know what I always say, be good. In the meantime, be blessed and be awesome.